when I wake up in the morning, instead of saying, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to, I want to, I want to, I would pause, I would breathe in, and I would ask the question, what would love do today?
Welcome to your heavenly refuge, a space to unwind your mind, slow down your rhythm, and fill your whole body up with inspiration.
Dreaming with open eyes, being in another world. Don't know what's truth or lie, all these stories that you've heard. Having difficulties to speak, because they seem so far away. It is time to be awake, got important things to say.
This podcast will nourish you with the stories from beautiful creators and entrepreneurs who have already made a change in their life using their gifts to walk their talk. Welcome again. My name is Oyana Galor-Dual, yoga teacher and nutrition consultant, enthusiastic about bringing the stories of people that share their unique blueprint with the world. The second guest of this season in Ibiza Refuge for Dreamers is Zoran Todorovic. He's a very dear part of the community in Ibiza. Every time I see him in a gathering, I meet his shiny and curious eyes and his childlike smile. He's a family holder. He has the most smart and beautiful kids and wife. And in addition to all this, he's a master certified coach. He's a TV presenter, co-creator of the Evolutionary Coaching Institute, where he works as a senior trainer and mentor coach. He has worked for many industries like technological, finance, banking, manufacturing, and fashion. He's an international speaker, having taught classes and presentations at conferences around the world. His articles and blogs have been published in places like Fortune magazine, Investors magazine, among many others. He coaches beyond goals by moving people into service to others, to evolving humanity and our world as we know it. Thank you so much for taking the time in your busy agenda to be here with us today.
I am so blessed and honored. Thank you so much for inviting me. And what a wonderful introduction. Sometimes when you listen about yourself, then it becomes like, really? Is this really me? But it was so sweet and wonderful. Thank you so much for introducing me that beautifully to the audience.
Thank you, Zoran. I would love if you take us on a journey at the beginning. Mm-hmm. If you take us on a journey back in time, mm-hmm. to find out the crucial moments in your life that led you be here today.
So one of the most crucial moments in my life, and I always share this with all my speeches, is that I never forgot who I was when I was a child. So I was one of these evolved children, you know, when the parents get them and they don't know what to do with them because they ask so many interesting and curious questions and they challenge the reality as it is. So I was one of these curious children from the beginning. And my parents didn't have it easy, really, because I would ask, you know, and why is this like that? And who is God? And why is that society working in this way? And how can we not have the ultimate abundance from everybody? Why cannot everybody live in a state of bliss and love and unconditional life and glory? I was asking all these questions all the time. And of course, my parents were managing this in the best way they could, but they were calling me a philosopher when I was little. That was a slang. Here is our little philosopher asking all these profound questions. And my father was always worried, what is he going to become? I mean, you know, he's not going to be technicians or mathematician or fix the cars or go to military at that time. But what is he going to do? Anyway, so that was the beginning of all of this. And one of the good thing about me is I really never forgot that connection to the sacred and that connection to the source. I was always awaken in a way, but I never fall asleep, because sometimes when you have children who are like that, because of the impact of society and everything else, they disconnect and they fall asleep. And I think that I've never fallen asleep. So I was always in relationship with the bigger reality that we are. So,
what brought you into coaching?
So that connection facilitated through my life, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was always connected, but I was always looking for this profession. My father was right. You know, what the heck am I going to do? You know what I mean? With my curiosity and philosophical mind. And the coaching became something that I was always doing because I was caring more about people than I was caring about anything else. So when I was in a business or when I run my own businesses, I never cared about money. I always cared about how people can be more happy and fulfilled and satisfied instead of how much money are we going to make. And I remember my managers and mentors at that time were saying to me, no, 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 you should care about money more than you should care about people. And I always say, no, people are the most important assets. People, humanity is the most important. So I was coaching without even knowing how to coach. So one day, to fast forward this for you in time, when I was in my late 20s, I was working in a media organization. I was a TV presenter at that moment in time. And I was really unhappy because working with media, it's a high pressure job. You have to produce content all the time. You have to be creative. You know, you have to really do it. And the energy, the atmosphere was not really good in that organization at that moment in time because it was hyper stressed. And at that time, my girlfriend, who is now my wife, we were resting at the beach on a short holiday, and there was an article in the magazine that she was reading. It was a girly magazine, Cosmopolitan, and it was the Cosmopolitan editor who hired the first coach in United Kingdom ever. So this new profession came from America to United Kingdom, and she was the first coach. And then she wrote about her experience of working with the coach. And she just tossed me the magazine and said, this is what you do. And I was like, I'm not going to read this girly magazine. It's, you know, she says, you have to read this. So I've read it and I've recognized while reading this magazine, this is exactly what I have been doing my entire life without knowing that this exists. And this new profession just came about. And I immediately knew this was the right thing for me. Yeah.
So that insight came through your wife.
Absolutely. That insight came through my... Without her, you know, I probably would be a mechanic. But that insight came from... And she literally said, this is what you do. You know, this is who you are. Read the article. And I read it and I was like, you're right. This is who I am and this is what I do. Care about people.
Yeah, it's good to know sometimes that the insights come from the reflections of other people's eyes, that they care about us. Mm-hmm. So that's what coaches also do.
They give
reflection.
Yes.
And in different areas of life, from what I read.
Yeah, exactly. So they're mirrors, basically. Mm. Because what coach believes is that everybody has all the solutions and all the answers to any of the problem or issue or challenge in their life inside of themselves, right? So that's the core belief, that we all know what we need to do and who we need to become, and we need to connect to that part of ourselves. So coaching is mirroring and reflecting that connection back to people and inviting them to connect to themselves in order for them to know what they need to know about their life. So that's one of the functions of coaching. So you're absolutely right. My wife was already reflecting back and being a coach in that moment by saying, this is you, which is affirmation, right? I see you. This is you. This is what you should do at this moment in time.
That's one of the functions of coaching. Mm-hmm. Would you tell me more?
Yeah, so that's the basic function of coaching, to really get people to connect to themselves, because we believe that all the solutions, all the challenges, all the opportunities is inside of yourself, not outside of yourself. The other process is that everybody needs objective companionship, meaning that we all have friends and, you know, relatives and family that loves us, but they're usually emotional about us, right? So they care too much, and sometimes they love too much to support and help your life. Coach is somebody who is very objective, you know, who can see your life through their lenses and then can objectively guide you through the process of your life through asking you questions, challenging you, developing and growing you so that you are in complete ownership of your life. So that's another function of coaching, to really serve as a way shower, as somebody who walks alongside with you in your life journey, and it's helping you out, but being objective, not being emotional, right? Okay. Being really, really objective, sometimes too objective, sometimes say, you have to stop doing that, right? This is not good for you, and you know it. Come on, you have to stop doing that. When your friends would say, yeah, yeah, let's go get drunk. It doesn't matter if it's not good for you, but you're going to feel better, and I love you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
The coach will be much more objective and much more there to really tell you what you sometimes don't want to hear about yourself, but it's necessary to know.
So you said when you were talking now that the coach is inviting us to be responsible for our lives, to believe in ourselves, in our insights, and I guess to also co-create our lives if we are responsible for them. Mm-hmm. How do you do that?
So the ultimate outcome of coaching relationships, so let's say that you are coaching together and you're my client, I'm your coach, or vice versa, is that you will come to this point of being fully empowered, that you know you create and co-create your life, that you believe that. A lot of people don't believe that. A lot of people believe life is happening to them. Yeah. You know, they're just receiving life and they're witnessing. They're not co-creating life. And they would be stuck in a victimhood, right? They would complain, oh, this is happening to me. I'm such a good person. Why don't I have a boyfriend? Why don't I have more money? Why don't I have a place to live? Why don't I have this? Because they're witnessing life happening to them and not really owning it, right? So a lot of us live like that. I lived like that for most of my life as well until I got woken up that I'm creating my reality. So the ultimate outcome of that conversation and the process is that you become a conscious reality creator. And that starts with you believing that's possible. That's the first step, because a lot of people don't believe. You believe that that's possible.
How is the process? How do you make a person believe and more embody? Because sometimes we can have an idea in our mind. Okay, we co-create our life. We start seeing things and we start seeing there is an influence we have in life and there is certain reactions to things we do. But there is a difference between having an idea and then embodying really this, that everything that happens to us every time, even the times that are like, that can be hard, and we own that. We say, okay, I own this, and what can I do? Which are my tools?
You're tapping into something very important, which is embodiment. You know, you're absolutely right. The embodiment is the most important thing, being in the body, because no matter what you believe in your mind, right? I can believe anything in my mind until my body embodies that and believes it on a cellular level with all my fibers, with all my muscles. It can be just a story, right? It can be just a belief. It can be just a strong affirmation. And this is the reason why sometimes people struggle if they don't bring this into the body. So the part of the coaching, the powerful coaching process, it's to embody that, you know, and you do it from a different points of view. First of all, you work with yoga practitioners to help you gain awareness of your body. So you're not with a coach only. When you start a coaching process, the coaching might tell, listen, in order for you to embody, you really have to start being in relationship with your body. How are you in relationship with your body? Are you connected or disconnected? Maybe yoga is the right solution for you. And then when people get more into the yoga and they start coaching, then those beliefs and those conversations, they filter through their mind into their body, through their heart, into their cells, and they begin feeling it, the full body presence right now. And that is the most important thing. And this is something that coaching lacks, to be very honest with you, because a lot of coaches who don't know how to coach well, they will always coach only the mind, but they would never get into the heart or the body. So that your question is perfect in a way.
Okay, so you work with that tools also.
Yes, yes.
Interesting. And also in the little conversation we had when we talked on the phone and agree on doing this podcast, you were telling me that you wanted to talk about the power of manifestation, but also about manifesting from the heart, or what for me comes down to manifesting from being aligned with yourself. I'd love to hear more about that, mm-hmm. because many times we have a lot of inputs mm-hmm. of we need to do this or that, but it may not be in tune with ourselves.
Of course.
So can you?
Yeah,
can
yeah, you absolutely. Tell us more? So for me, the heart is the most important part of our body. You know, the heart has intelligence. You know, there are scientists who researched the heart in HeartMath Institute in California, and they found that the heart actually has brain cells inside of it, also the gut, but the heart has more. So for me, the heart is the most important part of your body. The connection to your heart, to yourself through your heart, it's the most important connection as well. And the heart has something which is called a true heart desire. Mm-hmm. So when you are fully aligned to yourself, basically you begin listening to your heart more than you listen to your mind. Mm-hmm. And you begin listening to your heart deeply, because the heart speaks with a very gentle voice. It doesn't shout. Like the mind screams at us sometimes. You know, sometimes it's whole beliefs and thoughts about yourself. You can hear them really, really loud in your yes. mind, right? You know, you're not good enough. You know this, mm-hmm. you know that. Yeah, yeah. The heart is so gentle and it whispers, right? It's just softly and gently and tells you things, now do this, now do that, listen to me. But when you align to that gentle voice inside of your heart and you allow your heart to become a governing part of your life, so the heart leads the way mm-hmm. and the heart informs the mind what mind needs to execute based on the true heart desire, mm-hmm. for me, then you win the game of life. That it's simple as that. You begin living that aligned life that you're talking about. When you're aligned to yourself, you're aligned to your heart.
Oh, can that be a door for fulfillment?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Because your true heart desire means that you do what is really aligned to your source, to your soul. What are you here to do in this lifetime, in every cycle of your life? Because our life changes from cycle to cycle. So you align to that cycle of your life and you're in truthfulness and integrity, and you listen to yourself, you listen to your heart, and you then get your mind to execute, not to tell you, now you need to do this. Your mind says, okay, heart, now I need to be or do this. And then you follow. When that happens, for me, magic happens. And I saw this in coaching so many times, and people align to this,
yeah,
and they begin listening to that, then somehow synchronicities, people, opportunities, creation keeps on opening and opening and opening, and you begin being in this flow of life when you are creating your reality instantaneously. You're walking and creating your reality with every breath you take. But to do this, you have to listen. You have to be one with your heart. And again, the challenge for all of us with technology, with our life, with our business, is that the gentle voice, it's gone. You know, we don't hear it that often. You know, we hear other voices.
Totally. One of the things I would love to get in this podcast is practical mm-hmm. exercises. Mm-hmm. So us and the listeners can do them in their daily lives. Mm-hmm. So because being in tune with our souls and our hearts mm-hmm. is such a compass.
Yeah.
I'd love if you can propose something mm-hmm. for us, a little thing to do in our daily lives.
Absolutely. There are two things I can share with you. One practice that I do for myself on a daily basis to get in connection to my heart is to ask myself question, what would love do today? Right? Mm-hmm. When I wake up in the morning, instead of saying, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to, I would pause, I would breathe in, and I would ask the question, what would love do today? Meaning that you're connecting to your heart through your love, unconditional love, for yourself, for the world, for everybody around you, and you're evoking love to become a governing force of your life. And then you allow the space for this to emerge inside of you. So what would love do? And then your heart will communicate, today is this, and you will get it. That's the first step. When you ask that question, what would love do? The second step is to trust it. Because usually if you're not confident in alignment with your heart, you sometimes don't trust that voice. So you need to trust. If the love tells you, do not work today. Today It's the day of rest. Play music. Go outdoor. Play with your kids. Go with the, you know, go to the beach. You know, go skiing wherever you are. That you're not overriding that voice and by saying no, that cannot be. Today I need to be very busy and I need to send 10,000 WhatsApp messages. You know what I mean? Yeah. You listen and you trust because the heart is timeless. It knows beyond the linear time, so the heart knows what will happen in your timeline in this week and the day after and the day after. So if your heart tells you today rest, then you rest. So that's one practice that I always do on every day for myself. The second one is this meditation when you are connecting to what Dramvelo Melchizedek, who is one of the teachers that I really love, is calling connection to the sacred space of your heart. Okay. And the sacred space of your heart is the part of your heart that has answers to everything. And the meditation is very simple. We can do it at the end if you want to record, but I'm just going to talk through about meditation right now. It's literally moving away from your mind, you know, through, if you imagine the elevator in your head, in your mind, basically going down through your face and going down through your throat and going down into your lungs and then going down into the heart. So you move your inner eyes, your consciousness, from the mind into the heart. And then you enter, you intend to enter into something which is called a sacred space of your heart. When you enter into the sacred space of your heart, it's the space when that most of the masters call your intimate connection with God or your intimate connection with Source. This is the space when only you and God have conversation. There is nobody else, you and Source, whatever the language is that you're using. I like using Source and God. That's the space when you connect to your heart. And then from there on, your heart gets really empowered to be governing your life on a daily basis. So that's the second practice, doing that meditation.
Thanks so much, Soren. So once we are aligned with our hearts, then I find very important to take action also. Sometimes I find that we can have even, that's it, we are aligned, we have our intentions, but then we maybe don't reach out with certain actions. What can you say about that?
I can say many things about that. And one of the things that I really want to mention is that this is the beauty of coaching profession, you know, because coaching gets people to act. It's a chariot, you know. Now you know what you need to do, but you don't have a confidence, you don't have a courage, you can get a little bit lazy, you can get a little bit insecure, you can get a little bit like, oh, I can't be bothered, or this is too much work, or is this, whatever your gremlin is, whatever it's sabotaging you. So the coaching is the part of somebody's life, and the coach comes in, it really kicks your butt and say, now you have to do it. You know, there's no more procrastinating or delaying, because if you have this inner knowledge of your heart, but you're not acting on it, you're not in the equilibrium, you're not in the flow of life, you're just piling up. Yeah. Like the water is not flowing, right? You have it's stagnant, it's stale. So you just need to act. So coach really challenges clients to act and holds them accountable if they don't. It's like a good parent, you know. Have you done this? I didn't. Why haven't you? What's the blockage here? Let's remove the blockage. Act, right? So that's one thing. And the second thing, it's for me, it's linked to the courage, you know, to act. And that's linked to the gut. Again, going back to what you said, embodiment. When you are connected to your core, to your gut, right? When there is courage and fire of life, you will act. So people are not acting because they're not descended in the body enough that will connect to that courage in their gut that would say, now let's do, let's go. So one of the things that for the listeners, if they're procrastinating or they're not doing this, ask yourself, am I connected to the core of who I am? Am I connected to my gut? And then do physical exercises like yogas and Pilates and Qigong and Tai Chi, whatever works for you, to get into that connection. And then the fire will light up and you will be unstoppable. You will do it.
You mentioned blockages before. You mentioned when you get into a process of coaching someone and that sometimes blockages come up. I want you to say which are the main blockages maybe you see in people. Maybe this may be helpful. And also I wanted to approach blockages from this perspective. I heard a lot about visualizing
vision board making, all these things for manifesting. But from my experience, there can be some things that can be beliefs, even from childhood, even things we are not even aware of, maybe from other lifetimes, for the people that believe in them, that are holding us back. How to overcome that, and how you work with that to unprogram, loosen up these knots that are inside of us.
Yeah, that is the most challenging thing about this life. Oh, Jana, this is the most challenging thing, because we all have a lot inside of us. You know, from a previous life, from this life, from the childhood, from a broken relationship, from, you know, there is a lot. And there is a lot of things that we don't resolve, they become traumas as well. You know, trauma is something that goes in a loop, which is not resolved, and it keeps on repeating in your life again and again and again. So that is the work. I remember when I was 16, you know, I went to a spiritual teaching in my city all by myself. My parents didn't even know about it. And I was listening to this spiritual teacher. I even forgot his name at that time. And he said, you have to work in your life. You have to work in your life. You have to transform and evolve your life. Everybody left. I came to him and I asked him, you know, what do you mean by that? You have to work in life. You remember, I was this child who was asking all these questions. And he said to me, you have to identify what is blocking you to become the best possible version of yourself. You have to identify, and then when you identify what is blocking you, then you need to engage and transform. Then you need to do the actual work to transform it. If you just witness and say, this is blocking me, but you don't actually do the work to transform it, nothing will happen. So you ask, what are the common things, you know, the blockages? Yeah. One of the biggest thing that happens throughout all the cultures, throughout everybody, it's I am not good enough, which is surprising to me. I've coached throughout the world, as you know, in China, in America, in Europe, in Africa. And when you are in this space, this belief comes up, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. Like a program in a subconscious mind. So whatever you try to do, I'm not good enough, I'm not successful enough, I'm not competent enough, I'm not beautiful enough, I'm not interesting, I'm not good with words, I'm not good with writing. But if you boil it down to it, it's I am not good enough. Like somebody told entire humanity when they were children that they're not good enough.
Yeah, it's a common, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's very common. So we have to address this. So how do we address this, I'm not good enough? First of all, you reframe it. You say, I am good enough, right? I am a divine being of light currently residing in a human form. I am source. I am God. I am perfect as I am. I am perfect as I am. I am perfect as I am. So you say this to yourself. But then the challenge for us is, what happens with the body? Because you can believe this, am good enough, but my body, my legs might say, no, I want to walk and approach somebody that I want to kind of date, for example, and I say, I'm good enough, but my legs are not moving because my legs don't believe I'm good enough to approach this girl, right?
But I don't find words.
I don't find the words. So I come and say, it's hello, you know, I don't know what to say to you.
Totally.
Because my body doesn't believe. So the part of the additional work is to embody that. So how do you embody that? You get in connection to every part of your body, to every cell, to every atom, to subatomic particles, to everything, and you tell them, I am good enough. And you practice and you tell them and you program yourself. You keep on programming yourself with a new operating system. And then through a little bit of effort, this is not too much effort, this is a little bit of effort. I'm talking like 21 days of programming, because that's the magical number. You're repeating this and programming and working and stretching and getting into your body. After these 21 days, you will wake up and then you will have a voice. You will approach this girlfriend or boyfriend. Your legs will move on because your body is going to believe that you're good enough. But work is required.
Yeah, work is required. And which kind of work? I'm very curious. That which kind of tools do the coaches use? So you talked now about reprogramming. Do you use also subconscious reprogramming? Do you use also binaural bits? Do you use therapy? Because I must say, to research on coaching to make this program changed a lot my view on coach. Mm. And I can see now coaches or the coach profession that that holds a much wider space than what I thought before. Mm. So which are the approaches you use for this reprogramming?
So the coach has a lot of things in the toolbox, right? So it's like when you go to the shoemakers and he can make you any shoes. You know, one of the most important is the reframing and reprogramming of the belief system that we talked about. So that means that you look into your limiting belief systems from your conscious and from your subconscious mind. And usually when you coach somebody, you will hear it. The client, the person that you're working with, will tell you. In the conversation, they will tell you, well, I'm going to, you know, go for this interview for the job, but I know I'm not going to get it. They will tell you. And then as a coach, if you listen, you will say, well, you're preparing to go to get this new wonderful job, but you're already believing that you're not going to get it. Stop. So that's a gremlin, right? That's your belief. Where does this belief come from? Let's look into this. Then you find the belief consciously or subconsciously. You get the belief out in the open, you look into it, you see where does the belief come from your mother, from your society, from your father, from your school, because somebody told you at one point in time to believe this and you believed it as a child, you open, right? And you said, of course, I'm not good enough, you know, and nobody is good enough. My mother is not good enough, my father is not, you know, I'm not going to get the perfect job. So you look at the belief and then you say, what is the belief that you want to choose for yourself? Right? So what is something that will support and serve your life right now? If you were to have a choice, what would that be? And then you define it. You say, I am going to get this job because I am capable. I am optimistic. I am enthusiastic. I'm skillful. I have loved this profession, whatever it is. And you create that new belief. Mm-hmm. Then you embrace it in your conscious and subconscious mind. You embody it. In your body, you connect it to your heart and you become it. You become that new version of yourself. Out of all the tools of transformation, this is the most powerful tool of coaching because most of the time we don't do things because of the beliefs. The limitations are usually beliefs that we hold for ourselves, right? In addition to that, there is so many others. I mean, you can work with the hypnotherapy. You can engage this in coaching. You can work with the breath work. You can get this into the coaching. Basically, you will have a different goodies in the coaching space and you would use each and every as it needs to be. But one that I would love to emphasize for you because you asked that beautiful question is that reframing, reprogramming and creating the empowering belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great. Well, and then also you are doing evolutionary coaching. Mm-hmm. I was, I have been very excited to also read about it.
Yeah.
Can you tell us more what is evolutionary coaching?
Evolutionary coaching is a service to humanity, right? So what I love about this methodology is that when you coach with some other coaching traditions, you focus on individual and you focus on evolution and transformation of individual. When you are coaching with evolutionary coaching methodology, you focus on collective human consciousness. So that's the essence of evolutionary coaching. We coach people to evolve collective consciousness, meaning if I was to coach you around relationship issues, so let's say that you have a relationship issue, I'm coaching you about something, you know, either you want to have a love in your life or you need to go through the breakup. It doesn't matter. It's a relationship issue. When you coach from the evolutionary coaching perspective, you're coaching the entire humanity through coaching you. So that means that all women with the same issue like you are getting coached through you and with you right now.
Yeah.
Right? When you evolve that issue inside of yourself, all other women with the same issue will feel, it's easier. When enough women transform that issue, it will disappear from our consciousness.
Yeah.
It will not be an issue any longer. So that is the essence of evolutionary coaching because we actually want to evolve human collective consciousness through coaching individuals that are part of the human collective consciousness. So you become much more integrated in the humanity. You become a representative of humanity. And you know that you're not only working for yourself, but you're also working for the humanity. And when you expand that space of working with humanity, you have more energy, because you're not only using your individual energy in the coaching process, you're using the collective energy in the coaching process. So that's so beautiful. And when you do that, that's why I love it so much, because I'm passionate about humanity in general.
Okay, so you went a little, like, a step further.
Yeah.
It sounded to me when these landmarks in humanity are broken, for example, when an athlete is breaking a certain timing, then more people start getting into that time because it's kind of their consciousness expands and they think that that is possible.
Absolutely. So absolutely. That's it. That's a great analogy, a great metaphor, because now you open the possibility for everybody else to know this is possible for me. The illusion, Ayana, is that we are collective being. We're not individual.
Yeah.
Right? We believe that we're individual. So you and I are sitting recording this podcast. I believe I'm Zoran, you believe you're Ayana, you're separated. There is a space there between us. On a certain level, this is true, but actually, we're one being. Actually, you and I are interconnected as one. You are me, I am you. You're coaching me, I'm coaching you. We're in symbiosis, in a dialogue. And when people begin getting that, that becomes a completely different playground. Because it's not only about you, it's about everybody else. And it's easier for you to evolve, to change, to prosper, if you know that you're part of a collective.
What about time also? So you said now, okay, that this is an illusion, that we are separate. And before you were talking about the horizontal and the vertical timing. And you were saying that when we connect to the heart, we are connected more to the vertical timeline. And the heart knows even more than us what's going to unfold. So when this comes down to coaching and to setting dreams, to setting goals, to manifesting dreams, how all this come together? Because it's true, we set up goals and we adjust it to time. And at the same time, there is also an illusion of time, and we are creating different realms at the same time, different parallel realities. So how all this come together? I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, me too. I know, so this is a great question. Listen, me too. I'm still figuring it out. You know, I can give you my take on it. I don't know the answer. So I would like to take it a little bit further. I think that now humanity is in a very important transition, right? 2021, you are now recording this. We are in a pivotal moment in humanity when we are called to become the best version of ourselves. We are literally called, with the crisis behind us, you know, and what was happening in the previous years, and are emerging into ascension, which is the unity consciousness, and becoming one with everything. We have to step up. We have to allow ourselves to become a bigger version of ourselves. So if you align to that bigger movement, that humanity is now challenged to evolve, challenged to change. Humanity really doesn't want to change, because part of the change, it's pain and grieving. And we don't like pain. We don't like grieving either. So we kind of do our best to resist the change, to avoid the pain, which is essential part, because when you change, you have to let go of something. When you let go of something, you feel sad, because you've let go of something that was part of you. So that challenges us on a collective level, because we don't like that. But we're called to do it right now. We have to step up. So in this new era, how do you do these timelines, vertical and horizontal? You have to become what you want to see in your life. You literally have to step into that reality and become it. I know this is esoterical for some people to comprehend, because it's not a tool, it's not a step one, step two, step three, step four. You literally become it. So, example, we're looking for a perfect loving relationship. You become a person that has love in their life. You become a human being that is fulfilled with the intimate love from their partner,
Yeah.
I'm looking for a abundance. You become abundance. You literally walk into that reality right now and you become abundance. And the good thing is that the frequencies on the planet are so high right now that we can do it. Before, it took us a long time to get from the point A to the point B to achieve the goal. We needed to paddle and work on it and work and hammer it. And then eventually it happens, right? Now this is not reality any longer. In my understanding, how I see reality when I coach people, if they choose to become, they will be. And the only thing that is holding them back, it's blockage or belief. So if I want to become an abundance, but I believe in luck, right? I believe there is not enough for me. There is not enough for everybody. I believe planet Earth has not enough resources. I believe that, you know, everybody is struggling. Then I can't be that abundance because I have a belief that says luck. So you become the abundance, right? But as you're stepping into this abundance, if the gremlin or the belief comes, I don't believe in abundance, I believe in luck, there is not enough for everybody, you stop, you breathe, you ask yourself a question, where is this coming from? Ah, from my grandmother. This is through my family lineage. She believed in poverty, she believed in luck. That has been passed in my genetic line. Does it serve me right now? No, it doesn't serve me any longer. Do I want to let go of this? Yes, let go. What do I want to believe about abundance right now? Everybody is abundant.
Mm.
So you become it.
Mm.
That's my method. You know, that's how I work with people. And this is how I challenge myself and everybody around me to do at this moment in time. Does it make sense?
Sounds like presence, like to be present with what you
want to. Yeah.
And also embodying it.
Yeah.
And when these challenges come or these blockages come, you kind of acknowledge them, find a way to let them go, maybe through therapy or breathing, or even just sometimes it's like you just let them go and you embody
That's it.
Before you were talking about these little rituals, you were saying this number of 21 that is like a powerful number to embody something we want in our lives or to embody a new paradigm, a new belief. Are you doing, are you considering the cycles also? And are you doing specific practices maybe around certain timings? For example, in full moon, are you doing something for manifestation?
Yeah, I love new moon. For me, new moon is the energy that really works with me. I also do things in the full, but the new moon excites me because I'm Aries in my rising sign, and Aries love the new moon. So every time there is a new moon, I feel like, oh my God, this is so exciting. So I can set the new. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I work in the cycles of the nature, and I follow the moon, and I connect to it because I think when you're in alignment with the nature, nature will support you.
Mm-hmm.
If you work against it, you know, you feel like I'm doing so much effort,
okay,
but nothing is happening, right? I'm efforting. And then when it's efforting, then you're not aligned to something. So then I usually, myself, I stop. I said, well, what am I not aligned with? Oh, I'm completely out of the cycle. Look, I'm doing pedaling upwards when I need to go downwards and relax. So I do that.
Mm.
I also, when it comes to cycles, I like life cycles as well. In coaching, you have this seven. You know, some people it's seven. For some people it's four. For some people it's nine, but for me, for example, for most of my clients, it's seven. So 7, 14, when you were 7 years old, 14, 21, 28, and so on and so forth. And if you trace this, when you talk to somebody, you will see that there were always defining moments in those cycles. And those cycles are closing and opening. So it's very important that you close the cycle of seven, if this is your number, and complete, and then open up to new. What happens to people, they don't close it, they get into the new cycle of seven with the old baggage and they can't actualize the new cycle, right?
Okay.
So I love that circular, natural way of working. And to kind of go full circle to your question, yes, with the cycle of natures, with the moon, absolutely new moon for me, to set intentions, to get the things going, to work with the creation, and then cycles in life that I adore. You know, love.
Do you mean closing in a good way and then to be able to step into the new consciousness would call it, or the new energy coming.
Okay. The new consciousness and new energy, because each cycle holds certain lessons of your life.
Okay.
It holds certain opportunities. Mm. You know, it holds certain ways that you need to be, or what you need to kind of figure out and learn, and how you need to mature. And then basically within this cycle, you do that. And then you complete, and then you open, the new cycle of seven opens, and then there is a new set of lessons, new set of things you need to do that you complete. The example is 40 years crisis. Why people get in crisis when they're 40 or 50 is because they're out of cycle. Mm-hmm. When people are in the cycle of seven or four or nine, depends on your makeup, and they come into the 40s and they've done the circular work, they don't have crisis. They're like, okay, I don't have a crisis. When you come into forces, but you didn't complete all the lessons and everything that you need to do in your life, you're like, oh my God, my life sucks. I haven't done this, I haven't done that. I don't have this, I don't have this. I don't have couch, I don't have kids. I don't, you know. Yeah. Then you get really, really overwhelmed with this. So the cycle is super important and an essential part of coaching people to get them aware of their cycles.
Yeah, the cycles of nature, the cycles of life, and also... Are you working with the sun as a force?
Listen, we can go crazy here. I love it. I do, because I love the sun as the provider of quantum solar energy. And I see how I see sun from my perspective is the Father God. I think that the ray of the Father God of the source comes through sun to us.
Okay.
And the same thing happens with the Mother Earth. The ray of the connection with the Mother Earth, which is our mother, comes from the source of the earth through our heart. So with me, when it comes to the sun, whenever I see the sun, it's like, oh, my Father is here. You know, my Divine Father is connecting to me and empowering me. Yeah.
So you have a small practice for us to do?
Glazing, sun glazing, which is very challenging because you got accustomed to wearing sunglasses, which is completely wrong, as you know, probably. And if you ask small kids to wear glasses, the first thing they will tell you, we don't want to wear glasses because they know they shouldn't. So one of the practices of connecting to the sun, it's laying and then gently practicing looking at the sun and relaxing your eyes so that you can absorb the sun through your eyes into your body. And that activates the part of your brain when your melatonin is, serotonin is, and then the brain begins functioning completely differently. That's one practice that everybody should do instead of wearing glasses all the time.
What timing do you use for that?
Mornings or late afternoons, not in the peak, you know, because peak, some people who are great practitioners, they do it in a, you know, at 2 o'clock, 2 o'clock or 12 o'clock, they can sustain that intensity of the energy. But some people, you know, in the afternoon or in the mornings. I love glasses. I mean, they look cool.
Yeah, they are cool.
They're very cool. They look sexy and cool and hot, but I think we should glaze the sun as well.
This podcast is for dreamers. I believe we all are dreamers.
Yes.
And some of us we talked a lot about the different processes of manifesting already. I acknowledge that. But some of us are like a little bit more on the air, and it takes a little bit longer for us maybe to take things down into physical reality, into physicality. Mm-hmm. Do you have any extra advice for these people, for these dreamers?
Yeah. For the dreamers, manifestation for the dreamers is amazing, because the dreamers are actually the most profound manifestors, as you know. The dreamers are the ones who can see the unseen and you can see the reality and you can bring it forward. So, but if they're dreaming too much, it's not, you know, in this reality, they get stuck in a different reality, four-dimensional, fifth-dimensional, and astral, and so on and so forth. They spend more time there than here. So for dreamers, number one, intention on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
What is my intention today?
Mm-hmm.
What is my intention for this month? What is my intention for this year?
Mm-hmm.
What is my intention for my life cycle of seven or nine, four or nine? So intention is very, very important, because the intention, daily intention, governs the energy. Second thing, attention. So you intend, but then you have to give intention attention. You are in relationship with your intention, because a lot of dreamers, they put the intention, they let go and they forget about it. Right? So it's okay. It works. But if you really want to intensify your manifestation abilities and your powers, your intention has to have an attention, meaning that you're in relationship with the intention. You know, you're driving your car. I said, my daily intention was to have an amazing conversation with my friend and to get an insight about this challenge that I have right now.
Yeah.
Right? So that can be your intention. I'm struggling with something. I really want to get clarity. Why is this happening in my life?
Yeah.
So that daily intention. You're driving and you're like, why is this happening in my life? You're an inquiry. You're powering your intention by giving it attention. Mm. Right? So intention, attention, action.
Mm,
right?
Action.
Action. So that the third step is you give intention, attention, and then you listen to yourself and you act on whatever emerges inside of you in that moment. So the example, my intention today is to work out this issue. I really want to be in clarity about this. I give it attention throughout the days. Every few hours or every 45 minutes, I get in relationship through my breath. I remember, okay, what was my intention? Aha, I need to give it a little bit of attention. Through inquiry, you become curious.
Mm.
And then from that comes the action. And then you will have what we call in coaching inspired action, something that moves you in your body and tells you, and now I have to do this, and then you act. So if dreamers do daily intention, attention, and the action, it works because it brings the energy present in the body. It claims it from this ethereal, esoterical space inside of you right now, right here, and then you become much more engaged with life.
Thank you so much. Does it help also to write the intentions so it's maybe a process that is rooting them more?
Yes. Write it or say it loud. My practice is saying the intention loud. You know, I write them and then I keep on walking by myself and saying intention loudly and clearly. Sometimes people think I'm crazy, but I don't care. It's like, my intention for the day is, and I say it, and I said, universe, come on, help me out, you know, work with me, you know, this is what I need to do. Hello, my angels, guards, whoever guides my life, come on, step up, you know, let's do it together. And, you know, I'm engaged and I talk to reality in that way. And when you call it like that, then your spiritual guidance, your, you know, guardian angels, your power animals, they all come to you and they're like, okay, you called us, here we are, let's do it. So that grounding intention into writing, into verbalizing, to singing it, sometimes it's good to sing it, you know, will help a lot.
Do you do it in front of your family also in
yes.
the morning?
Yeah. I do it in front of my family and I do it when I walk my dog. And usually my kids are always teasing me. They're like, oh my God, my crazy hippie, insane Ibiza father. Okay, he's walking around talking about intentions. And I usually say, you have to do this as well in your life. Come on, this is the essence of creation. The intention directs the energy. The energy creates the outcome. This is what you want to create, conscious reality creation. Yeah.
It must be funny to watch that.
Yeah.
In movement, if I want to embody an asana, I train certain muscles, I tune in with the breath, and then I build new neural pathways in the body that allows me to embody that. So which are in manifestations the muscles that we need to rely on to do this process in our everyday lives?
Neurological pathways are very important, right, in manifestation. So when you are intentioning something, to go back one step, and then you are giving it attention and then you're actioning, what you're actually doing, you're creating the new neurological pathways in your brain, the new loops. And those new neurological pathways in the brain, on a physical level, they create a chemical reaction that releases certain, you know, hormone in your body that supports your body to be able to go towards that intention more. So in yoga, as you said, you move, you activate certain parts of your body, you activate this. This is the same thing. You activate your brain and your mind and you connect it to your heart. And then the heart does the later on rest of the activation for your body. And the more you repeat it, the more you believe it, that becomes a new neurological pathway that then becomes your reality on a subconscious level, right? Because that's the trick. Because when you create this new neurological pathway through firing that intention, attention, that new belief and eliminating these blockages, you cement this new neurological pathway in your mind and then it becomes a subconscious, so it's an autopilot. You don't need to worry about it any longer. And that's why 21 days are very important, because that's how much it takes to establish that connection. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Soren. Yeah, I enjoyed so much. This is one of my favorite topics this year. And I would like to ask you, I'm asking some questions to every guest.
All right. Shoot. Season.
So if you can just sing or talk whatever comes to your mind. Mm-hmm. And I added a couple of extra questions for you.
All right.
As you are a coach, and coach looks like they have superpowers or they are magicians. So I added a couple of practical questions. First question, what brings you in alignment with yourself?
Exercise, walk in nature, ceremonies. Connection to the loved ones.
What enhances your creativity?
Being with creative people. Believing that I'm creative and doing creative stuff.
Yeah.
That sometimes I don't have enough time to do. I would love to do more of.
Which are the ways you share yourself with the world?
Well, I'm all over the world right now, through communication to presentation, through podcasting, through being a guest, to coaching, through teaching, and to being a great part of a kind of valuable part of community. That's one of the showing up for community of people that I love.
Would you give us a daily practice for manifestation?
For the dreamers, intention, attention, action, connection to the sacred space of the heart, following the true heart desire, allowing your heart to be a governing force, really, really allowing it, trusting your inner gentle voice and becoming it. Now more than ever, become it. We can do this. We don't need to struggle any longer with anything. We just can become.
And I'm asking for a full moon ritual.
Yes.
Because this episode will be on the air in the full moon.
Okay, right. So what I usually do in the full moon, I take my shoes off, I'm barefoot, and I walk in the forest. And I see this silver, crystalline, beautiful light, you know, and usually, you know, my cat comes with me for walks, not my dog. My cat is a full moon ritual, and I do it by myself, and I glaze and I stay and connect, you know, to really embody that, you know, that silver light that I love so much.
Yeah, you bath on the silver light. Good. Thank you so much, Soren. Thank you for all this precious knowledge you shared.
You're so welcome. It was my joy and pleasure and honor, and I'm very grateful to you for inviting me.
Varenya, Bhagavad. Yasya dimahi diyo yona prachodaya.
Yona, prachodaya.